Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Now, we've all had a song or melody take up permanent residence in our heads, only for the music to drive us around the bend because we can't remember where we heard the song in the first place, nor do we know who's singing it. Suddenly, an ad comes on the telly and for some home appliance or whatever, and there you have it, the music is featured on the ad. So Kate Brennan-Harding is here now to remind us of the songs that in some cases have become bigger than the products they were used to advertise. So Kate, first of all here, are we talking earworms necessarily? We aren't.
Some are earworms. We will apologise, I suppose, in advance for sticking them in your head again. But others are not. They just were made huge because people were like, what's that? I have to hear that. And it wasn't on radio.
But like when releasing a track these days, artists, they're possibly looking for radio play or placement on Spotify, streaming platforms, TikTok, whatever it happens to be. But is advertising perhaps the original alternative way to have your track played to millions of people?
I think so. I mean, if we're going to talk about the Coca-Cola ad in a few minutes, but I think they're the original viral hits. They're the original thing that captured people's imagination because you got to hear something in a different way, in a different medium, and the visuals went straight into your head.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these happened before MTV. Do you know what I mean? And MTV was hugely influential in creating like massive hits. So I guess it's the same for, you know, anybody getting on there on the ads now. And then we talk about Christmas ads. Like, I know it's too early to talk about Christmas ads, but the scramble for the big Christmas hit is, you know, now it's tied up with, say, John Lewis, or tied up with Sainsbury's, or tied up with Tesco, or Lidl, all of the places. I'm giving a lot of advertising away by accident.
Tied up with selling something
exactly,
other than the music.
Yeah, so it's kind of cynical, but at the same time, if you're a new artist, it's brilliant because you'll get to be able to, you know, go, this is my sound.
Well, look, hold on, here's a sound. What is this to you, this sound? I mean, is this sound to you something that's a single release or a song release or a Spotify song from a group? Or is it an ad on telly? Who is it and what is it? And which is it to you?
Well, to me, this is actually hearing somebody whistling it down the Dolomites skiing. I can't ski, but I heard someone go past singing it and I couldn't get it out of my head. But it's originally by Peter Bjorn and John. It's called Young Folk and it is one of the biggest earworms ever. It was released in 2006 on MySpace. So back in the day before, you know, we had all of the big kind of, we're talking about different ways and alternative ways of putting music out there. They did that. They released it there. But then Homebase came along and I think ruined it because I think it's a great song, but Homebase, basically every single advertising campaign for I think a year and a half
really
featured this song.
I can't even remember this. It was Homebase, wasn't it?
It was Homebase. So I just keep picturing people with ladders and smiling, going around with pieces of MDF and you know, all this sort of stuff.
Tins of paint.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I'm sorry because I think that track is going to be stuck in everybody's head now for the rest of the day.
Yeah, right. I suppose. By the way, like the singy bits there, were the singy bits in the ad, or was it just the whistling?
They were kind of faded out, but whistle was what started it off. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But like, actually, the video for that ad is for that actual single is very sweet if anybody wanted to go and watch it, and the whole song is gorgeous.
That's not what you're talking about.
I know, but just on the off chance that somebody wants to see it.
Okay, well, I think you know what we're talking about. Music made famous by ads is what we're looking at. 51552 is our text. Kate Brennan-Harding is here. Where are you going next?
Well, we go to one of the latest IKEA campaigns.
What's that?
So it's Patrick Watson Lighthouse.
Oh, Patrick Watson.
Yeah, I love Patrick Watson. Now, I didn't know who he was before the IKEA ad, so I'm really grateful to IKEA for
what's
introducing
the song
me
on
to
the IKEA ad?
Lighthouse.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I thought I was... Wait a minute. I remember Patrick Watson brought out an album. He's Canadian kind of... and he won the kind of Mercury Prize in Canada and all this.
Yeah, the Juno,
Polaris.
Isn't it? Yeah.
No, Polaris.
I
don't know. And anyway, and he came to Dublin. I loved his album, which I've forgotten the name of, about 2007, 2008. And I went to see him at the TV club. He was great.
That was the...
The Great Escape? No.
Adventures in My Backyard. Was that the album?
No.
Okay, then it was just before. Yeah, no, it might have been Escape, actually. But yeah. I didn't know anything about him. And they said, do you remember the ad? Can you picture the ad in your head?
I don't know what you're talking about. No. What's the ad for?
It's for IKEA.
All right.
And it's an ad that actually obviously pulls on the heartstrings, but it's this little boy and he's living in an apartment complex and his mum is working, I think, night shifts. And so the whole way, like I literally might tear up telling you about this because I don't know why this ad makes me irrationally emotional. But the little boy goes along and leaves different types of lights, obviously all the types of lights you can buy in IKEA, and leaves them for the whole route, for the whole way home. And she comes in and he's like, hi. And because she's so tired working the night shift and coming home in the dark and everything like that.
When was this ad airing? It was still airing.
This ad was airing in 2016, 2015. And it is not still airing because it sets me off every time. But this song is so beautiful. This song is so beautiful.
And I don't know this either. So. Leave a light on. Well, I know his voice.
Yeah. Gorgeous, isn't it?
It's gorgeous. Yeah. Quick, let's all jump in the car and go to IKEA.
Yeah, I love the sentiment.
Loads of lights. He puts on all the lights because she's on the night shift. It makes her feel really good.
Yeah, and he puts all the lights along this pathway for her way home, you see. So it's beautiful.
There'll be texts coming in that's like, what do you mean you've never seen the ad?
I know. I didn't realise as well that Patrick Watson, I only discovered that he's Patrick Watson, who releases all this music, but
it's the name of his band.
His band is Patrick Watson. Yeah. It's really confusing. Yeah. You're kind of like, I know it got stuck, but you're just like, okay, you're looking up on Spotify and there's two different things, you know?
Yeah, he's got a lot of classical in his music and that. In fact,
soundtracks.
Is this the track? I remember Billie Eilish started off her tour and it was with a Patrick Watson song. So we said, really? I didn't know. I think it might be this one.
I actually think you're right. Yeah. Or maybe we're both wrong, but sounds familiar.
Anyway, I think, The Great Escape or Close to Paradise or something was the name of his album.
It's The Great Escape, you're right about that.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. All right, so that's Patrick Watson, Lighthouse, and obviously I gave up on him because I never heard it before. So go on. Where are we going next?
All right, well, let's go to Can You Picture the Sony Bravia Ad?
Ah, listen, lads, that was the balls in San Francisco,
wherever it was. The very, very
bouncy
balls.
It wasn't San Francisco, was it?
It was. It was San Francisco, and it's all these multicoloured bouncy balls, 750,000 of them, being released down the hills. And, obviously, I think everybody who can remember that ad, because it was just so visually striking. Yeah. And it was basically the director, Nikolai Fugslig, he insisted everything was shot live. So none of it was, kind of CGI. It was all done live.
It was the real deal.
It was the real deal.
Probably done at 5 a.m. or something.
I don't know. And I'm not sure about the time. Mm. But it featured Jose Gonzalez's version of Heartbeats. Because
The knife,
exactly. Yeah. Most people think that it's just his, but it's not. It's a very different version of the knife, if you ever looked that one up.
And he's also got a very distinctive voice. Here, we'll give it a blast.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
It's gorgeous.
He's got a band called Junip.
One night to be confused, one night to speed up truth. We had a promise made. Four hands and then away, both under influence. We had divine sin to know what to say. Mind is a razor blade.
Isn't it funny though?
The Sony Bravia TV.
Yeah, I remember this ad was played so much that the song started to annoy me.
Really?
Yeah, but now I listen to it and I'm like, oh, it's lovely.
I haven't heard it for a while. It was a slow motion, the balls, were they?
Slow motion.
Yeah, most
and
of
then
it,
one obviously. Of the surprising facts that I thought was hilarious is 50 students on roller skates were employed to clean up all the balls.
Really?
Can you imagine going up and down the hill on roller skates in San Francisco trying to clean up these balls?
And I presume it worked very well, did it? Selling the television.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's became one of the most iconic kind of TVs because of that ad. And that ad is not called a Sony ad, it's called a Jose Gonzalez ad.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, okay. So, music made famous by ads. Kate, off you go. Where are you going next?
Right. 1, 2, 3, 4, Feist.
Oh, yeah.
What
was that for?
It was for the iPod Nano. Can you see the ad in your head at all?
No, definitely not. That was the little yoke that you hang over your neck.
So there was actually different generations of them, and it had been out a couple of years. This was the fourth generation iPod Nano because they got it wrong on the iPod, the third generation, because it had this weird little screen on it that you couldn't really work and it just looked clumsy, do you know? So this, basically, 1, 2, 3, 4 was released, used. It was released on iTunes as well, one of those first digital releases. So Feist released that. Now, she had been obviously doing really well in her native Canada. And this song, and using it on iTunes, using it on something that obviously, the iPhone hadn't come into existence yet, blew her up hugely. And people then started going looking at her back catalogue and really...
What do you mean it did her career a power of good?
Yes.
She wasn't actually blown up. Okay, hold on a second. You love me more, sleepless, long nights. And this was the ad used?
Yeah.
Oh, this was the song used?
Yeah.
And none of these songs were written for ads. They were just used by advertising companies when they were out there.
Yeah. Right. But like,
and gave a huge boost to the people's career.
But that one absolutely did. I mean, she has how many? I wrote it down earlier. She's 145 million streams on Spotify of this track, which puts everything else into a shadow. Put the horse before the cart. Those teenage hopes who have
tears in their eyes, too scared to run off to one. Okay, that's Feist.
Do you want to know something?
Yep.
Did you know that the iPod Nano was discontinued in 2017?
I did not.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I would have thought it would be gone way earlier, but 2017,
gone. Indeed. Okay, well, it's still, it worked for Feist. It's called 1, 2, 3, 4. Coca-Cola, you mentioned earlier.
Coca-Cola. So I actually love this story. So this is from 1971. I'd like to buy the world a Coke. Now, the New Seekers had a song, I'd like to teach the world to sing. And did you know that the origins of the creation of this ad actually, and the idea comes from a stopover in Shannon Airport?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with Boris Yeltsin. No.
He was not drinking Coke, allegedly. But the guy who was up with, you know, creating the ad, his name is Bill Backer, and he was flying over to London, and they had to make a temporary stop because of fog or something in Shannon Airport. Now, this is back in 1971, and all the passengers that came off the plane were irate. They were given out. It was all a bit crazy. So they did stay over for the night, and they did stay close to Shannon Airport. So Bill Backer, the next day, he sees the same people who are really annoyed, and he's looking at them, and most of them are drinking bottles of Coke, because we didn't have cans back in the day, back then.
Right.
So they were drinking bottles of Coke. And so the idea came to him, oh, everybody can like get happy and commune along to, you know, have over a Coke. So he went then, ended up in London, and they were asking the New Seekers to record the alternative version, which is, I'd like to buy the world a Coke. And then the ad gets recorded in a foggy hilltop with hundreds of people, hundreds of extras lip syncing along to, I'd like to buy the world a Coke. So I kind of love
they all follow like a up with people kind of thing, like a religious thing.
Exactly. It does. It's very 70s. And did you also know, before you play it, did you also know that, I'm sure you did, the New Seekers sued Oasis for plagiarising this track, plagiarising the original track, unlicensing, or using it unlicensed on Shaker Maker.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honey bees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Sing with me.
Perfect harmony.
Perfect harmony.
Okay, Kate, Coca-Cola, where do we go from there?
Well, let's go to fun, We Are Young. Now, I probably, one of the
we
only people
who are young, heard, Supergrass.
No, is a good song. Whereas Fun, We Are Young, featuring somebody I love, Janelle Monáe. You'll play it in a second and everyone will know about it. I kind of find this song really annoying. But anyway, the advert that it was part of was a Chevy ad in the Super Bowl in 2012. And you might be kind of like, well, what relevance does that have over here? But it got huge popularity in the States and then travelled over here. Everyone's like, oh, what's this band? And who's Janelle Monáe? And who are Fun? And it was a massive, massive hit. And then it was used again for a Taco Bell ad in 2013, again in the Super Bowl. So 2 years in a row. So elevating its status.
Oh, here, I'm just playing it now. I know it, yeah.
Yeah, and it, you know, like it won the Grammy for Song of the Year in 2013.
Great.
I know.
Is there ever a day that there isn't an awards ceremony on? There's a TV awards ceremony on ITV for 3 hours every Tuesday night of the year.
Every night of the year.
Seems to be. And Ant and Dec looking kind of embarrassed that they win for the 400th time.
For the millionth time.
It's always the same people. Hold on a second. And what's this for again? What was it for?
The first one was for Taco Bell, but the other ad was for Chevy, the car company,
right.
Where they were firing a Chevy outside of a plane. So the ad wouldn't be famous over here, but did elevate
Doesn't
this
mean
band.
An awful lot to me. Now, this, hold on, here's one I do remember. You ready for this?
I love this song, except for I thought I loved the song. I was only chatting to Conor Bean before I came in here. I remember going to Golden Discs and buying it on tape because the ad, culturally, Levi's ads back then were
Did
so
you
huge.
Buy one song tapes, did you?
Yeah.
Wow, fantastic. Well, I've met someone. Like, well, you wouldn't buy a full album on tape or anything, no?
I would buy a full album when I'd saved up. I had to discover what I liked, Dave, before I committed to the
one
album.
One song tapes. And then it gets stuck in the machine. You got to get your pen out and roll it back.
Yeah, or if you didn't like them, put the sellotape over the top and record over them.
Oh, listen.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I remember going and buying this tape and bringing it home so excited because, you know, it was part of the Levi's ad. It was released in 1996. It was Christmas that it became huge. It was number one in January 1996. And put the tape on and I was like, I thought my tape deck was broken. Because it was completely the opposite.
The way it goes weird there at the start. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is the full thing as opposed to the ad on the telly.
Yeah. And actually now I don't mind it so much, but it was, I think the only way I can describe it, I checked my tape player, I put in other tape to check was it working, and then I was like, okay, this is not what I thought it
was. What was happening in the ad?
So the ad is really kind of cool. It's set up in space. And these alien parents are waiting for their alien daughter to come home. And she's coming home. She's been on Earth and she comes home and she's wearing a pair of Levi's. Yeah, and she looks fabulous.
Okay, that's Babylon Zoo with Spaceman. And it was for,
Levi's.
Oh, Levi's, sorry.
But see, the Levi's had an era of like absolute whoppers. And like if your song like Shaggy, there's a load of them. And we're going to play one in a second, Mr. Uzu, Flatbeat. Levi's, if your song got onto that, you were guaranteed a hit. Do you remember Underwater
Love?
I heard
the grapevine, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah, and Underwater Love. And wasn't it... The Clash became huge again because of one of their songs, or one of the Levi's.
Okay, tell me about Mr. Ozo.
Okay, Mr. Ozo, do you remember this one?
No.
Okay, so really cool puppet, Flat Eric. Okay, actually designed
did
by...
Did you just say a really cool puppet?
Yeah, he was a really cool puppet. He was bold and rude and he did all sorts of things that puppets are not supposed to do. He was designed by Jim Henson's Creature Shop and Quentin Dupuis is the name of Mr. Ozo. And this song, accidentally made... they were kind of messing around with the puppet and sort of filming him, and then Levi's got on and were like, "Oh, this song's great. This sound is brilliant." So they put the ad. The ad was basically designed around the beat, and then the beat goes on to possibly, some people might disagree with me, but possibly be one of the main founders to electro house and EDM music, because there was kind of nothing like this out there. I remember hearing it for the first time and be like, "What's this?" and thinking it was rubbish, and then I got really into it very quickly.
Yes, in a certain place, yeah. I don't know about the radio. Those things never worked for me on the radio. Okay.
But you see, the puppet is this flathead, and he just, when it goes, his head just moves. It's very cute.
Okay,
it's very funny.
One of the most famous of all time.
Oh, the best.
Okay, tell us about that. I think a lot of people of a certain generation will know that one.
Oh, completely.
Mid-90s, yeah.
Have you ever danced to it?
I have not.
Have you not?
No.
Oh, come on. I have, much to my shame or whatever. Even on a bus on the way to Donegal, falling down the aisle trying to do it. This was in 1994. Sepia-toned ad. The actor, Joe McKinney. And he just appears on the screen. And the next thing, he's dancing to this Prez Prada song, Guaglione. And it's for that Guinness ad, and I think it's one of the most famous Guinness ads.
Yeah.
And it's definitely one of the most loved ads.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now, anything else? Or which other ones are there?
Well, Dandy Warhol's Bohemian Like You, that was a big phone.
Oh, it was
still makes me think
yeah.
of the flip mobile phone. Do you remember when flip phones came out first? Yeah.
Great start of a song.
Oh, fantastic. Kind of taken Rolling Stones issue, isn't it?
Bohemian Like You by Dandy Warhol. It was a flip phone thingy, was it?
Yeah, I don't know. The image I have is this silver flip phone. I think probably because I went and bought it based on this ad because I was like, oh yeah, I want to be cool. Do you know what I mean?
Did you ever see the movie with them in it, the documentary?
No, I didn't actually.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's them versus another band who didn't make it as much as they did, called the Brian Jonestown Massacre. Made over
actually,
about 10 years.
Them, yeah.
It's brilliant.
The Dandies have said that if it wasn't for this song, they were possibly going to be dropped by their record label because they came out, like this song came out, was used by Vodafone, went huge, and their record label was kind of like, it was before guitar music had kind of come back in vogue, like before the White Stripes, before the Strokes, all that sort of stuff.
What was it called? Tales from Urban Bohemia.
Yeah.
Good album.
Yeah, really good album.
All right, that's Dandy Warhol's, and that was for... What was it for again? I've forgotten.
Vodafone.
Oh, yeah, the Vodafone. Okay, fine. All right, where are you going next?
Clearly the advertising does not work for you. Oh, well, listen, I think, you know, anybody that's going to get introduced to Nick Drake owes whoever's introduced them.
Oh, yeah, this was an ad on TV. Was this ad in this part of the world as well? It was.
It was in this part of the world, but only for a short while. It actually mainly featured...
I remember the story about Volkswagen in America or something, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and Australia as well. And so it was a campaign decided, like, basically, because it was Volkswagen Cabriolet, which we don't have here, but the Volkswagen, started using Nick Drake's tracks.
Yeah.
Nick Drake is Pink Moon. And actually, the ad is really beautiful because it's about traveling in this lovely car and you're kind of, creating this kind of desert nightscape. And anybody, it's a very big switch to switch from Bohemian Like You into this track. But Nick Drake, I'm sure somebody's listening to the show today who's never heard of him. And like, it's a gift. He's a gift, I think.
Nick is the best.
Oh.
Something terrible. This is kind of weird, but his first album, Five Leaves Left,
yeah.
Which sold 6,000 copies or something like that.
Yeah.
I bought it while he was still alive.
Did you?
Yep.
Are you the ultimate hipster then?
I must be. The best thing about Nick Drake is they finally realised just how great he was about 100 years later.
Yeah.
And he died at the age of 24. But they left, at least they had these about 4 hours of Nick Drake on BBC Two on Sunday night about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And you know an amazing thing, which I think is brilliant, was on TV. They don't have one piece of film of him.
No.
Not recording, not as a kid on the beach. They have nothing on film of Nick Drake. And yet they had 4 hours of TV on.
Isn't that amazing?
It was his sister talking and looking at the legacy of his albums and all this kind of thing.
Wow.
Brilliant. Anyway, Nick is good.
Oh, he's beautiful.
Okay, that's Nick Drake, Pink Moon, a later album from him. Okay, and that was for Volkswagen, but mostly it introduced him to the States, and I presume it made his album sales suddenly go.
Yeah,
skyrocket.
And again, like everything, it translated back over here, and then people were starting to listen to him again. It's much like people discovering The Doors. I know Nick Drake's way more obscure, or was way more obscure, but it's then that teenage thing where you discover something and it's fresh for you, and it gets a new life of its own. Speaking of, we're going on to Fleetwood Mac, who are everywhere. Everywhere.
What was that used for?
Okay. This was used for Three Mobile Phone, and actually I forgot about this ad until I was looking this up, and then I remembered, I really heavily identify with this ad. It's Shetland ponies on a cliff, and one Shetland pony, see, I've got very, very short legs, and one Shetland pony trying to do cheesy dance moves, so to this track. And it's brilliant. It's just kind of like, we can all be that Shetland pony.
I should remember this. Should I? When was this ish?
Back in 2013.
Don't remember.
And actually, this song.
What was it for, by the way?
For Three.
Oh, right. It was
for Three Mobile.
Again.
Yeah.
Three Mobile.
So, it's a Shetland pony. They say moonwalking. The pony's not moonwalking. He's kind of just doing kind of funky little
just
dances.
Hasn't got a clue what he's doing, basically, by the sound. Okay, give us two more quick ones.
Right, well. When you think of chocolate now, what song do you think of now? If you think of Cadbury Chocolate.
Phil Collins.
Yeah, In the Air Tonight with the Gorilla. What an ad.
Wow, Phil's been in the news this week, or the last couple of weeks. He's not doing too well.
No.
Anyway, okay, go on.
So, Gorilla was used. Gorilla. And most people know that. It was a 90-second advert. And
it's
just this gorilla just playing that classic drum beat.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was brilliant.
It did work, didn't it?
It was brilliant.
Because you were waiting there. Because also, he was... doing this to his shoulder and the other shoulder and kind of
awkward.
Warming himself up for the big bang.
Yeah,
here
for
goes,
the big bang.
It was fantastic.
I wish someone would turn that into the EastEnders theme tune, though.
Or start like that,
doesn't it?
It does, right, yeah. Okay, so that's Cadbury's Dairy Milk. Was it used for anything else, or was that the only one?
That's the only one, and that one is like 90 seconds of an ad. That's a colossal campaign as well.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Got played in quite a few festivals as well at like 3 o'clock in the morning after that ad was released.
All right, so that's that one. So the last one, or just one more, we'll say. We're talking music made famous by ads with Kate. Go on.
Yeah, so Ernie K. Doe, Here Come the Girls, massive tune, 2007, 2008, and then re-recorded by the Sugar Babes as well.
I'm just going to give you this here, just with the real one. Okay, so the one you're going for is what?
Here Come the Girls.
What was that used for? What is
Boots.
It?
Boots. And
Boots,
I think,
Pharmacy.
Yeah, Boots Pharmacy. And most people, I think, when they picture it, they can picture all the women kind of gathering together in the aisles and everyone's just picking up their stuff that they need and they're getting ready for a night out. And I think it's showing that Boots can, provide you with all your products.
And this was just a song that was out there doing nothing and then it did well, is that it?
It's an old track, and then Sugar Babes re-recorded it and it was re-released again then as part of another Boots campaign, so it became huge again in 2008. Yeah, it was just kind of, I don't know, whenever I played that back in the day, the women would just appear on the dance floor just like, yes, I'm empowered.
Do you think that was the ad?
Maybe they just loved the concept of the ad and the fact they were like, yeah, here we come. Here we are. We've arrived.
Well, listen, Kate Brennan Harding. Kate, thanks a million for dropping in. Music
Thank
made
you.
Famous by ads.
I can live without coffee, I can live without tea, and I'm living about the honeybee. Not a feeling state, I can leave or take, but the girls are part of me. And oh, water, I don't need no lemonade. But to live without girls, I can't live without girls, like a man.
Weekends on 2FM.